Hi, I'm Bill Arnold. Thank you for listening to this podcast. There are many more podcasts available at myfaithradio.com. Your support makes this possible. Thank you. And a warm welcome to the afternoon show. I'm Bill Arnold. You know, what is rejection? And how does rejection work in our lives? Wyatt, have you ever been rejected, ever?
Several times.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. I think everybody has, though, right?
I believe everyone has.
I would imagine.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about how to deal with rejection today. My guest is Dr. Bob Moeller, and he can be discovered at fourkeepsministries.com, fourkeepsministries.com. If you listen to my show with any regularity, you will hear his smooth, mellow voice often because I love having him on. Bob, welcome back.
Thank you, Bill.
So you picked a very interesting passage of scripture to address this topic today on rejection from 1 Samuel 25. So you got some work ahead of you, my friend.
Well, let me set the background of the story. David is on the run from his son, are from Saul, the king, who has rejected David, where David once fought for him, fought his battles, served him loyally, took down Goliath on his behalf. The thanks he got for that was Saul turning on him and more or less declaring him an enemy of the kingdom, going so far as to, you know, hurl spears and, you know, everything else he could do. He was intensely angry at anyone who was even, like Jonathan, he threw a spear at his son for even being David's friend. And so David was on the run when he's worn out. He's got some men who have followed him now. He's kind of put together a ragtag sort of militia group that will, you know, protect him and guard him against Saul and the men. And he comes across a guy named Nabal, who's quite wealthy, and it's sheep shearing time, and it's time of, you know, abundance and harvest and rejoicing. And David said, look, we've protected your sheep. We've watched over your shepherds. My men and I have been like a security force that you haven't even paid for, but we gladly did it. Could we just have some food? Because we're famished. And Nabal says, a lot of people these days are rebelling against the king. And what are you doing? And no, you can't have anything, you know, get off my property type of thing. Well, David is rejected by Nabal now, who he's tried to help as well. And he lets his lower nature get hold of him. And he says, men, let's strap on our swords. We're gonna take out every one of Nabal's men before supper time, before the sun goes down. But Abigail, Nabal's wife, and by the way, the name Nabal in Hebrew means fool, so it gives you an idea.
Okay.
It hurts to be rejected by a fool,
mm-hmm,
as well as anyone else. But this fool, Abigail realizes disaster is pending, and so she quickly gathers a huge storehouse of food and rides down and bows down when she meets David, who's really, you know, on the warpath at this point. And she says, look, King, even though someone is pursuing you, or David, even though someone's pursuing you to take your life, the life of my master will be bound securely in the bundle of the living by the Lord your God. But the lives of your enemies will be hurled away from the as from the pocket of a sling. When the Lord has done for my master every good thing he promised concerning him and has appointed him leader over Israel, my master will not have on his conscience the staggering burden of needless bloodshed or of having avenged himself. And when the Lord has brought my master success, remember your servant. David said to Abigail, praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, who has sent you today to meet me. May you be blessed for your good judgment and for keeping me from bloodshed this day, from avenging myself with my own hands. Well, the story is about someone who rejected David, first Saul and then Nabal, and then someone who accepts him. And that's Abigail. Sees him as the person of valor and integrity that he is, and begs him not to do something foolish in his rejection pain. And as a result, he listens and spares the life of Nabal and his men. And many days later, to finish the story, Nabal is getting drunk and said he was in high spirits when Abigail told him how close to death he came by offending David, and he has a heart attack on the spot and actually dies. Fascinating story, but it's just David's anger, desire for revenge, his sense of being insulted and wounded. Very common feelings when we've been rejected. And in our rejection pain, we can do some foolish things.
Oh, can we ever? Dr. Bob Mueller is my guest. We're talking about rejecting rejection. I know we've all dealt with rejection, and it's not fun, but he's going to help us walk through what the Bible teaches about rejection and how it works in our lives. Bobby, you have all of our interest right now, so let's talk about what rejection is.
Well, I like what one author has said. It's the painful absence of the love and acceptance that every heart needs and desires. When you think about it, rejection is really the absence of love and acceptance. And every heart needs love and acceptance. Everyone listening today longs for love and longs to be accepted. It's just part of how God has created us. And when that is withheld or denied or taken from us, it can have some rather devastating impact on our lives and on our relationships.
So Bob, let's just discuss how this difficult topic, rejection, because just talking about it is going to bring to mind in every listener right now a time when they felt this rejection, and I bet it's stinging right now. So maybe you'd be kind enough to talk about how rejection works in our lives.
Well, it does leave a sting, doesn't it?
Oh,
Whether
does it
you're
ever?
the last person to be chosen on the playground to be part of a team, or whether the young woman or young man you were dating and thought that you two really meant something to each other tells you it's over, and they're no longer interested, whether it's being laid off at work and being told your services will no longer be needed. Rejection can take so many forms, and it is painful. You know, we work with couples in distress, marriages, and we work with older singles in our ministry at For Keeps Ministries. I have to say, it's probably the number one emotional problem. Maybe not the number one spiritual problem, but it's the number one emotional problem that people face who are struggling with relationships in their lives. When you really peel away the onion, in many, many cases, what's going on is people are really trying to deal with the rejection that they have known in their lives. And that rejection, the way it starts, at least, there's a book called The Ins and Outs of Rejection by Charles Solomon that was really insightful. And he said, rejections can start when we're a child, when we're an infant, and when we feel rejected by our parents, our home environment. When we feel rejection at home, that's where it begins. And the result is very early in our lives, we can learn to reject ourselves. In fact, I think for listeners today that many are struggling, if we're really honest about it, that we really have rejected ourselves. We just think there's something wrong with us. We think that we're flawed. And of course, I'm not talking about original sin and the spiritual problems. Yes, that's certainly from birth. David says, "In sin did my mother conceive me," in Psalm 139. But this is an emotional rejection where we simply do not feel wanted, where we don't receive the acceptance and the care that we needed. I mean, I've been talking in our ministry recently to someone who said, "My brother could do no wrong, I could do no right." And his long as I remember, that's the way things were at home.
Wow. I bet there's a lot of people that have that as their story, that they had a sibling that was really doing everything right, and they felt that they were doing everything wrong, and then the template was set. So they just keep repeating that over and over to themselves in all areas of their life. So there's something that there's a cycle that's got to be broken here, Bob.
Well, and the cycle goes on. You're absolutely right. Once we've rejected ourselves, sadly, the next thing that usually happens is we begin rejecting others. We even start rejecting those who reach out to us, who really maybe honestly do want to love and accept us. But we're so wounded by the rejection, we've rejected ourselves, that when people reach out to us, we push them away.
Mm-hmm.
We insulate ourselves. We build walls. We find ways to run from that, or maybe sabotage it, you know, the relationship.
Almost like a preemptive strike. I'm going to reject you before you get a chance to reject me.
Exactly.
Mm.
The fear of rejection is so high, we make it happen. Then we feel we have some control over it.
Exactly. Yeah. Boy, that's even,
well,
that's
once we've rejected others, and that sadly can involve even rejecting our spouse, even rejecting our kids. Now, I don't mean overtly always. Sometimes people do. They walk away from the spouse. They walk away from the kids. But many times it's just more of an emotional withdrawal, or a lack of affirmation, or a lack of availability. Our spouse is trying to love us, but for some reason, we don't value that because we don't feel worthy of being loved, worthy of that. And so we frustrate our spouse. We just don't receive the love that they're offering us, and we push them away. Well, the final step in this sad journey is that we can end up rejecting God. Now, I don't mean that we say we don't believe he exists. I think Christians sometimes, on an emotional level, are guilty of rejecting God. Theologically, they know God so loved the world, including them, that he gave his only son, and they have trusted Christ as their savior. But emotionally speaking, they see God, in many cases, the way they saw their family, or their father, their mother, or someone. And they don't like that. They see God as angry or arbitrary or punitive,
mm-hmm.
or cold or distant or angry, any of these things. And so, as someone once, I think, said to me, I love God, I just don't like him. And that's a very bold statement to make. But really, what they don't like is their false image of God, the God who rejects them. They're certain that salvation works for everyone else, but I'm not sure it can work for me, despite all the promises. Now, I'm not saying that's theology. I'm saying that's our emotions. That's our rejecting heart speaking.
Yeah.
Because with our head, we know differently. But you know something? For a lot of people, when it comes down to what they know and what they feel, they'll go with their feelings.
I'm sad and sorry to hear that, but I also understand it. And I can see how if you've rejected yourself and others have rejected you, God could be in that mix of someone that you're going to reject as well. You might love him, but not like him. That's an interesting comment that person made, Bob. Let me take a little break. Dr. Bob Moeller is my guest. We're talking about rejecting rejection. When we come back, I want to ask him about what are the root causes of rejection? Maybe you've experienced some rejection and it's been monumental in your life. If you are in that camp and would be willing to say, yep, I had some incredible rejection and this is what I've done about it, I'd love to hear your story. You can keep it brief, 877-933-2484. Again, 877-933-2484. That's a text line. We'll be right back.
I'm Carmen LaBurge, host of Mornings with Carmen. I love a good story, don't you? I love a good love story, a good mystery, a good travel log. I love a good turnaround story, or a story that begins once upon a time and ends with happily ever after. So what's your story? specifically your Jesus story. What difference does Jesus make in your life? Could you tell it as a love story or a rescue story? However you tell it, trust me, we want to hear it. We love a good story. Connecting Faith to Life, Faith Radio.
What a beautiful day it is here in the Twin Cities of Minneapolis and St. Paul. I hope you're enjoying a great, beautiful day as well. We're talking about an interesting topic today. I can't remember the last time this came up. Maybe we've never talked about it, but it's the topic of rejection. And we're going to talk about rejecting rejection. How about that? So you're going to have some good stuff to walk away with today. My guest is Dr. Bob Moeller. You can learn more about him at FourKeepsMinistries.com, FourKeepsMinistries.com. All right, Bob, what would you say are some of the root causes of rejection?
Well, let me list several. One is conditional love. When we're raised in a home where performance is the currency needed in order to buy a parent's approval or acceptance, when we know that love is somehow conditional, that if we do things right, maybe we will be accepted, but if we mess up, we can be pretty certain rejection will follow. Another cause of rejection is fighting and conflict in the home. When parents don't get along with each other and there's a lot of fighting, it begins, first of all, the child thinks, well, if you really loved me, you wouldn't do this in front of me because this is hurting me. This is really breaking my heart. And if you two dislike each other that much, maybe my coming into this home wasn't a welcome thing either. Maybe you don't really accept me any more than you accept each other. Conflict just sends a subtle signal. I don't care enough about you to spare you from the pain that I'm inflicting by arguing and with my spouse and creating such insecurity and trouble. It has a way of making the child feel they aren't really wanted. And sometimes, sadly, they even end up thinking, I'm responsible. I need to fix my parents' marriage. And of course, and if it actually leads to divorce, well, then maybe it was my fault and a tremendous sense of rejection. Abandonment and neglect. When a child is born into a home and a father or mother never stays, maybe is never even present when the child is born, or stays for a while and then leaves. Well, the message is very clear that I was not enough value for you to stay and raise me, that something was more important to you than me. And of course, in that is implicitly the seeds of rejection. Divorce. I want to speak tenderly to all those today who've gone through the sorrow of that, and particularly those who did not want it or seek it, nor was responsible. But the truth of the matter is very few things can make a child feel so rejected as divorce, because it means that I am not worth the two of you staying together to raise me.
And Bob,
I don't have enough value for you to do.
These young little minds and hearts come up with these conclusions all on their own, don't they?
They do. No one has to tell them that.
Right.
And maybe no one ever says, oh, honey, we both love you. I had someone tell me recently, Bill, that one evening, the mom and the dad, there was a young brother and sister, probably elementary age. One evening, the dad and mom said, hey, we want to all get together on the couch, the love seat. We're going to talk. And the boy told me he was so excited. We're all going to be together on the love seat. And when he sat down, he said, hey, we are on the love seat. Isn't this neat?
Mm-hmm.
And then his dad dropped the bomb. We're here to tell you mother and I are getting a divorce.
Oh, my. Oh, my.
And that split that little boy's heart right in two. Because at the very moment he was celebrating the love, acceptance, unity of his family. In a moment, it was taken away from him. An unexpected or unwanted pregnancy. I've had more than one person tell me through the years that even while they were in the womb, they sensed their mother didn't want them. Or somehow they just had that intuition. I don't know how to explain it. But later on in life, it was confirmed where the mother said, I was considering aborting you. Or I didn't really want this pregnancy because it interrupted everything. And, you know, we already had all these children or whatever. There's nothing like being told that you shouldn't have even been born. Or you were thinking of preventing them from being born. That can implant the seeds again, once again, of rejection. I, for one, I understand. Well, let me just say, I just can't get my head around taking the life of your own child in the womb.
Mm-hmm.
And the amount, I understand all the reasons and why people say they do, and even the extremities that sometimes are involved. But I think it was Mother Teresa who once said, if a mother is willing to take the life of her own child, what is there left in Western civilization to save? It's a... Abortion is an ultimate act of rejection, if you will. A little bit less serious than that, my parents wanted a boy or girl instead of me. They were hoping that I'd be a boy. They were hoping that I'd be a girl, whatever it might be. And that in itself, again, carries a message of rejection. Yes, you're born to us. Glad you were, glad you're healthy, but we were really hoping for a different gender in this case.
Bob, do parents have any idea what they're saying when they say things like that? Do they have self-awareness, do you think?
Well, if they had true self-awareness, I don't think they would say that.
I don't think they would either. I mean, that's such a damaging comment.
Well, exactly. And, you know, God knows exactly who we should raise. When he gives us children, if he gives us children, that's exactly who he wanted to give us.
Right.
You know, Psalm 139 says that every day written for us was ordained before one of them came to be. So in God's eyes, I was always going to be a boy. Cheryl was always going to be a girl. That was part of his eternal plan, not just a temporary one. Another one, and this again is heavy, but recently I've just encountered this again in working with couples that are struggling in their lives and their marriage, parental suicide. When someone takes their own life, to the people that are left behind, again, this probably was not the message that was meant to be sent. Almost virtually certain it wasn't, but you weren't worth my continuing to live. My leaving was more important than being part of your life. And I understand, you know, that severe depression and other things can feed into that. But actually, at the end of the day, there's nothing more selfish we can do. Or at least nothing more rejecting that I can think of, very few things, than taking our own life. Many times I come across people that are so severely depressed, they're at risk for it, but they have a high sympathy score in their test, meaning they're thinking about how others would feel that they love if they followed through with this. And that keeps them from taking their life.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, I'm very grateful for that.
Yeah. Bob, this list is very helpful, but it is very painful. I can see how each one of these would cause incredible rejection.
Yeah. And, you know, the death of a parent. And now that one's a little bit more difficult to unpack because parents don't always choose to die. You know, their life is taken suddenly or, you know, the disease or something like that. But that can leave someone feeling abandoned, thus feeling, you know, rejected. And of course, the person wanted to live on and of course wanted to be there. But I'm just talking about the impact. I know someone who had a parent die by suicide and then a few years later die by cancer. And it has devastated her and left her with serious rejection issues in her life. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not saying this is the way it should be or that it even makes sense. I'm just talking about what can be.
Mm, of course. Dr. Bob Moeller is my guest. We're talking about rejection today. Not an easy topic, but Bob is quite gifted at handling this as gently as you are. I appreciate this because when we talk about all these components of rejection, I know it's hitting home with a lot of people listening today, and it's probably conjuring up memories of things that they probably have tried to deal with in the past. Maybe they were successful, maybe they weren't. Maybe this is opening up some hurt again.
Yeah, Bill, another thing that's, again, thankfully a little bit lighter than what I mentioned is just a constant comparison to siblings or others. You know, constantly, why can't you be more like your brother? Why can't you be more like your sister? What about your cousin who got into this school or made this team? Or why aren't you more like them? You know, I don't know who said it, but someone said comparison is the thief of joy. And as soon as we start comparing ourselves or being compared to others, it can rob us of our joy. And it makes us feel like we should be more than we actually are. Sometimes people born with disabilities or congenital defects can feel rejected. Society has a way of, in some cases, making those people feel marginalized and making them feel unwanted. One of the saddest things I've heard in a long time is that in some Western European countries, as soon as they learn that a child has Down syndrome, the advice that's given is to abort. And because that person, you know, has Down syndrome. And as a result, today in some countries, you see almost no adult Down syndrome individuals, because society has just decided that, for any number of reasons, that that's inconvenient. Mm. And yet, people with disabilities can be one of the greatest gifts we ever receive.
Amen to that. Bob, let me take a short break. We'll come back and continue our discussion with Dr. Bob Moeller. We're talking about rejection today. When I come back, I want to ask Bob about what are the emotional responses that we can make to a sense of rejection. If you've felt that rejection, we're going to talk about some emotional responses we can make. If you want to learn more about Bob Moeller, please go to fourkeepsministries.com, fourkeepsministries.com. We'll be right back.
It's the Afternoon Show with Bill Arno. Drive time, drive time. Let's get it started. Jump in your car. Yeah. What's for dinner? Hey. It's the Afternoon Show with Bill Arno.
Welcome. I hope you've had a great day. I'm talking to Dr. Bob Moeller today, and we're talking about rejection. I know that's kind of a tough subject, but the good news is there's good news coming. We're going to talk about the path to freedom from rejection, so hang in there with us. I know we've all gone through it, and it stings, and sometimes it lives on, and we end up rejecting ourselves, and it's a pretty bad cycle. But Bob, let's talk about the emotional responses we can make to a sense of rejection.
Yeah, I can move a little more quickly through these, but I wanted to say one last thing about rejection, the causes. And I'd be remiss if I didn't mention abuse, various forms of abuse.
Of course. Mm-hmm.
Verbal, physical, emotional, sexual, spiritual. All of those forms of abuse can leave really deep scars of rejection. Well, the responses that we can make to this, and again, I'm grateful to the insights of the ins and outs of rejection, but one is a feeling of worthlessness. If you reject me, or I feel rejected, I must be worthless, because only worthless things are cast aside. A second is wishing I had never been born, that I must have been a mistake. What's the use of me here? No one seems to appreciate or want me. Maybe it had been better if I had never been born. And with another all too common is feelings of inferiority. One of the things I have people do when they come to our offices for help with their marriage is to list negative thoughts that they wrestle with. And one of the thoughts that is most commonly checked is everybody would be better off without me. Or I can't do anything right.
That's
stupid.
A little black and white, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. A little dramatic. It is. But
These
are the thoughts that are circling in people's heads sometimes.
Yeah,
even if you look at them, you'd never know that.
Mm-hmm.
How inferior they might feel, or that, you know, they can't do anything right. Another is the inability to express our feelings. When you feel rejected, some people choose to just go radio silence. They just quit talking. They don't talk about what they're actually feeling or what they're struggling with. They don't think perhaps that anybody will care or want to hear what they're feeling. So they can't express feelings. They're put way, way down there and rarely come out because, well, if I did, I don't think that you would accept them. Well, depression, of course, we can often go into depression. We have what we call, from rejection, we have a pain ladder, as we call it. When we are rejected, that's a deep hurt. If it's not healed, that goes on to cause us emotional pain. If that pain is not resolved, we become frustrated. And if that's not resolved, then we turn to anger. And then anger can lead to depression, where we turn anger inward. Anger is another result of reaction to rejection. Often, I say anger is just the unhealed hurts in disguise.
Mm-hmm. Bob, would you say if anger might be just a lot of really intense frustration? It just boils over.
Yeah, frustration and anger are very closely related.
Okay.
Absolutely. Anger and depression are related because anger or depression is often just anger turned inward toward ourselves. Emotional detachment is another possibility where we just turn off our emotions. We don't let ourselves feel anything. Because when we did, we got hurt.
Yeah, so don't talk, don't trust, don't feel.
Exactly. On tests we give, sometimes people are almost at the very bottom, meaning they're entirely emotional detached. They don't let themselves feel anything. They don't experience anything. And I'll say, I know a secret about you that you may not know that I know. And they go, well, what do you know about me? I'll say that you're a very, very sympathetic person. And that you were so sympathetic when you got hurt, you got overwhelmed, and the only way you could survive was to detach and not feel anymore. Am I right? I've yet to have somebody tell me I'm wrong. That detached people are actually sympathetic people in most cases, overwhelmingly, that got hurt and they inverted, they flipped from sympathy to detachment. To let emotions drive your life, or we might call this impulsiveness. If you're wondering, why do some people act so impulsively? Why don't they stop and think about what they're doing before they say or do it? It's because they're so far up the pain ladder that they're desperately trying to make something work in their life, desperately get free of the pain. And so they start impulsively trying things that really are no good for them. I think that's where a lot of addictions get going. Another way we can react to it is that we become introspective. I mean, we just simply think about ourselves all day long.
That's not good.
I've been accused of overthinking things.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably true. But one of the reasons we overthink things is we so desperately don't want to be rejected. So if I really, really, really think about this and really, really analyze it and really take it apart, maybe I can figure out how not to get hurt.
Well, Bob, what if I try to express it and it doesn't come out well? And all of a sudden, then I feel like, oh, there's the rejection. I should have waited and waited till I could express it better. So you just live on eggshells the whole time.
Yes, exactly. You're afraid that when you finally do pull the trigger, the gun will be aimed your direction.
Exactly.
You know, and so you don't want to do it. I think that when we can't express our feelings and don't want to, but here's the thing, and I don't want to jump ahead. We're going to get to how this can be healed and how we can begin to find freedom, I promise you. So stay with us. But one of the ways that you can help a person who feels deeply rejected not feel rejected, and it's something any of us can do, and it doesn't cost a dime, and it can mean the world to someone, and that is to listen to them, to give them the gift of listening, so that if they don't say it right the first time, it doesn't matter, because we're going to listen until they have really said all that's on their heart. And Bill, often we think listening is like 30 seconds is a good listener, or a minute or two at most. No, we need to listen to people. We can't do this every day all the time, but we need to listen to people for 30 minutes or an hour.
I agree.
Maybe 2 hours.
Yeah.
Or that's one of the most valuable things in terms of talking about yielding what's going on inside people in our ministry, is that I have people tell me their life story and I listen for 3 hours. I may ask a few questions, but I just let them talk. And you know what, Bill? They walk me to the door of their heart.
Wow.
Eventually. And when someone listens to you for 2 or 3 hours, one of the first things that it will make clear to you is that they accept me.
Mm-hmm.
If they're willing to listen. You've got problematic teenagers, sit down and listen. You've got people in your life you don't understand, but you want to build a better relationship. Listen. Because often there is rejection behind their behavior that can be very everywhere from annoying to really hurtful. Well, let me move on. Perfectionism. For all the perfectionists that are listening today, one real possibility is you're trying to be perfect so you won't be rejected. If you get everything right, how can they reject you? If you do everything right, if your house is perfect, if your kids behave perfectly, if you're dressed perfectly, maybe people then will accept me. And behind a lot of our scramble of materialism, Bill, in this culture is a fear of rejection. Because if I have everything and I'm the envy of everyone, well, maybe then I won't be rejected.
Mm-hmm.
Perfectionism, lack of self-discipline, the irresponsible person who doesn't arrive on time, chronically late, procrastinates. You really can't count on them to do what they said. That irresponsibility is often rooted in a sense of rejection.
Interesting.
Look, I know I'm going to screw up anyway, so why should I try?
Interesting. I always wondered about that, Bob. I appreciate that insight.
And, you know, with that comes irresponsibility. Worries, doubts, and fears. If you are consumed by worry, if you wrestle with huge doubts, if you find yourself swallowed up in fear, one of the reasons might be you really fear rejection. Other people, from God, from who knows what. But you're just afraid of life because life has hurt you. And life has shown itself to be unpredictable and erratic. And at the end of the day, you're the one who gets hurt. And so people are always sort of living on high alert.
Mm-hmm.
People raised in alcoholic homes, for example, always have a heightened sense of, almost always, have a heightened sense of vigilance. They're scanning their environment. What's coming? What's next? What do I have to be prepared for?
Mm-hmm.
Because when somebody is addicted to something by nature, here's the sad thing. If someone is an alcoholic, a drug addict, they can only love you at a 3% level. And you're going to feel 97% rejected because that 97% is going to their addiction, not to you.
Interesting.
Self-condemnation. Where I, and let's add to that maybe scrupulosity. where I...
Don't use big words on me, Bob.
All right. What it means is that if I drive through a light that's yellow, but it turns red in the middle, that person is tormented by the thought, maybe I broke the law. Mm-hmm. Maybe there's a policeman that's going to pull out, you know, and pull me over. They're scrupulous because, again, if I just have to pay attention to everything to avoid being hurt by rejection. And then a lot of self-condemnation or self-hatred, where we become our biggest critic, where someone pays you a compliment and you say, oh, if you only know the idiot I really was, am. You know, thank you for how well you sang. Well, I missed two or three notes. You know, I'm so embarrassed. Maybe you noticed.
Yeah, I would say I hit two or three notes.
All right.
Bob, we have to take a little break. We're up against the clock here. So we'll be right back with Dr. Bob Mueller. When we come back, we're going to talk about the path to freedom from rejection. This is going to end on a high note. Again, Dr. Bob Mueller, you can find more about him at fourkeepsministries.com. Be right back. Hi, this is Bill Arnold. You might be the kind of person that goes to Paris and still listens to Faith Radio on the app. Or you might be more like the person that goes into the next room in your apartment and listens. The good news is using the app is just as easy in both places. Downloading the free app is crazy easy. Just text the word app to 877-933-2484 and click the link. And if you happen to be in Paris, there is a really nice little coffee shop not far from the Eiffel Tower that serves a really nice chocolate biscotti. We've been talking about rejection today, and we're talking about rejecting rejection. We've had a lot of different scenarios today, and I bet you've pictured yourself in one of them. So now we're going to continue with Dr. Bob Mueller and find out the path to freedom from rejection, if you have suffered from that. This is when it gets to the good stuff, Bob.
Well, thankfully, there is an answer to everything that I've talked about in the last hour, regardless of the root causes or our emotional responses. The answer is really the same, and it's realizing our identity in Christ. If we are willing to trust Christ as our personal Savior, put our faith in the finished work of the cross, the Bible says we become a new creature. We become a new person. And that now Christ lives in us. And now our identity is no longer our failures or people who have mistreated us, rejected us, you know, any of the things we talked about. Our new identity is a Savior who accepts us, who has accepted us just as we are, who accepts us with such totality, with such an overwhelming heart of mercy and grace, that he was willing to take our place, that he was willing to take our punishment, that he was willing to literally die for each of us. I don't know what greater statement of acceptance can be made than the cross, that Christ has accepted us. You know, someone has said he died with his arms outstretched and that they were reaching out to us, to a sinful, fallen world, and that now God does not count our sins against us, but instead we have been reconciled to God through the death and the resurrection of Christ. And I don't think that often enough we build out, that we expand upon, that we really follow the message of the cross and Christ when it comes to his acceptance. Because if we did, it would become impossible to conclude that God has rejected us. Now, if the most important person in the universe accepts you, what more? Who else could you possibly ask for? that could be more transformational than Christ himself. I read the story when I was in school of a man, a preacher in England called, he was named G. Campbell Morgan. He became one of England's great, great preacher orators of the 19th century. Well, in the 19th century, if you wanted to be ordained, at least in his denomination, you had to go before a committee and you had to preach a trial sermon. So G. Campbell Morgan is like 18, 19 years old. He goes before this committee. He's worked for weeks and weeks on this sermon. He's prayed over it. He goes in and he preaches his heart out. And of course, part of whether they'd ordain you is whether they feel you can preach or not. Well, he finishes the sermon. The committee goes to another room. They deliberate and they come out and they go, "We don't think so. We don't think you have what it takes. We have voted not to ordain you." Well, G. Campbell Morgan was absolutely devastated, and he wrote his father, he sent his father a one-word telegram, and the word was rejected. His father, a very wise man, wrote back a six-word telegram: rejected by men, accepted by God. And that telegram rekindled the flame in G. Campbell Morgan to become a preacher
To
spend his life proclaiming God's word. And he truly became one of the giants of his age. But What if he had believed that committee?
I know. But
his father wisely said, rejected by men.
Yeah.
Accepted by God.
Bob, a guest of mine named Heather Holloman, she said, and often says this to her kids, every rejection is God's protection.
That's a wise way of saying it.
Yeah, I like that too.
Yes. I also believe every delay is to our benefit.
I agree.
When you're frustrated at a stoplight or you don't get your tax return for weeks, every delay is to our benefit if you believe God is in control. And you can rejoice in it. Well, Galatians 2:20 is an anchor verse, and I would really like listeners who struggle with rejection to camp out here for a few days. Memorize this.
Amen.
Put it on your phone. I've been crucified with Christ, meaning I identify with his death. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me, who accepted me. I now live by faith in the Son of God. So one of the great privileges we have in our ministry is watching people come to the realization, these are people who have been hurt very, very deeply, that God truly accepts them through Jesus Christ, though they may have known great and painful rejection in their life. The scriptural truth is that we try and share is every believer who has put their faith in Jesus Christ for their salvation is now spiritually crucified, buried, resurrected, and ascended with Christ today. In other words, he is your life. He has accepted you, and now his death, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension, he has now welcomed you into all that in a spiritual sense. And what we have to do is just allow what we know to be true spiritually to begin to reach down to where we struggle emotionally.
So good. So good. This has been a very helpful hour, Bob. This topic is very difficult. I know it's striking a chord with everybody because we've all had rejection, but it's what we've done with it. And the fact that we're finishing this hour with realizing our identity is in Christ, and to encourage everyone to memorize Galatians 2:20. I did that several years ago, and I repeat it often, but I so appreciate you dealing with this topic and addressing it so wisely. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Bill. I appreciate it.
You bet. Dr. Bob Moeller has been my guest. Please go learn more about Bob at FourKeepsMinistries.com. That's FourKeepsMinistries.com. We'll take a little break. When we come back, we're going to hear about Lauren Green's brand new devotional You're going to be delighted, and you're going to enjoy this a lot. We'll be right back. Thanks for listening. Programming like this is made available through your support. Information available at myfaithradio.com.